Hello. Today we are trying something new, something fresh, something interesting. We are trying a
classic
review.
How dare you?
You just took.
Oh yeah, that's gimmick infringement, brother. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm gonna get kicked out of the territory.
We've done. I leave for like 2 minutes. I'm kidding.
Oh. By the way, we have Nick here with us. You might know him from the Go Home Heat podcast.
As well as Movie Critic Podcast.
Movie Critic Podcast.
The original classic podcast.
Oof.
Gimmick infringement. That's what I'm talking about.
The OG.
Right. Jared, Ray, KP, Nick.
And the normal Ray's Reviews crew.
Mm-hmm. What are we doing today? What are we doing?
Didn't we already say...
We said classic review, but we did not specify
review
the
of
classic.
Clearwater, Credence... I think I messed that up.
You got that mixed around. Credence...
Credence, Clearwater, Revival. I am so sorry.
two C's and an R.
It doesn't matter which C's
CCR.
Which.
CCR.
If you say Clearwater, you know we're referencing Bad Moon Rising. Like, you don't need to be like... There's always going to be like, well, actually, like, no, we know.
The Bad Moon Rising guys.
Yes. You know. John Fogerty.
John
those
Fogerty.
Other guys.
John Fogerty and the other guys.
His brother. Something Fogerty. And then the other two guys.
Stu Cook. I remember that name.
Because that's a memorable name.
But
not a lot of bands where one of the most memorable members is the bass player.
It's true. But which album?
Which album? Green River.
Yes.
Why did you pick this album?
I don't know.
Why did you? Did you?
I believe you probably picked this album because you saw that it got 10 out of 10 on a couple of different.
Did it get? I think a lot of Credence got 10 out of 10.
I was about to say, there's the three big albums almost certainly all got 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cosmos, I think there were a bunch, the self-titled, I think Cosmos Factory got a couple of them.
Do you have some form of history on the band for us?
Do we have some form of history on the band?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, there's a lot to talk about.
They're kind of country, but kind of not. It's strange.
Roots rock.
Yes.
There it is.
Roots rock. We had a long discussion about this, and we have determined that roots rock would be okay to call it.
I vibe with that.
69.
Coming out of California in the late 60s, a family band, Fogerty and Fellas.
Fogerty and Fellas.
And like you said, this is an album that is revered in classic rock with a hit that will be known as timeless.
They got a couple.
Well, we're going to get to that, right? We're going to go through this whole record. We're going to talk about it a little bit. Now, what's the first question you had for us, Ray? Okay, he gave me the list. How do you feel about the first track, Green River? Nick, how do you feel about it?
I mean, it's Green River. Okay. Full disclosure here, I have been a big fan of CCR for a while. I've kind of grew up on this a little bit. It's very good. I don't know how else to phrase it. When you, like, you're used to something, you're like, it's something that you've always considered, like, oh yeah, I know Green River. Like, it's always something you put in your back of your mind. It's something you just, like, you instantly connotate with, like, you know, 60s rock or like 60s country. And for some reason, like, this Green River and a couple other songs by CCR always connects to my mind, so it's very hard to say, like, they think, how do you think of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star? Like, it's a song that I've known for a while.
Twinkle Twinkle Little Star is overrated.
Right. Now, Fogerty said that he wrote the song to some degree thinking about the swamps in Louisiana and New Orleans. However, he wrote it about a river. Green River near where he grew up, but you can feel the swampiness in it when you're listening to it, which you can always, strangely for a California band, you could always, they feel like they should have come out of Louisiana. The voice screams I've been drinking moonshine since I was raised and I fight alligators. You know what I mean? Yes. The way he talks. That's always,
like, really confused me about the band, the fact that they're from California. But if you would get, like, for the longest time, I'm convinced they're from the Bayou. Because they have a song called Born on the Bayou, I believe.
They have an album called Mardi Gras.
Yeah!
Right.
Like, it's so weird. They have blended themselves so well into, like, almost a Cajun culture a little bit, where just they're synonymous with, like, Louisiana and that kind of, like, southern twang again, where it's so weird that they came from Cali. So, you know, it's...
Well, you can tell, too, it will get into it later, but with the way they dive into old R&B hits with a song on almost every album, cover song, you can tell that they are a bit of a music gumbo anyway, right? And so it would make sense that at some point their travels took them to New Orleans and they fell in love with what all that entails.
Jared, how did you feel about the opening track?
I enjoyed it.
Excellent.
It's not my favorite. It's not my least favorite. It's a good song.
Right.
Good opening.
I think it was, it was one of the more energetic songs on the album, which that's what you need for an opener.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Strong agree.
So it feels less than a compilation of songs. Now it just feels like an album.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the closing track would be your next question you issued us, Ray.
Well, the last two tracks, I believe, were instrumentals. Are we counting those?
Those might have just been add-ons for the 40th anniversary.
We're ending with The Nighttime is the Right Time.
That's what I think.
The Ray Charles cover.
The Nighttime is the Right Time.
It's great.
It's great.
It is great. And it gives that... You know, Ray Charles has a scruffiness to him anyway, but it gives that that rock feel to a classic. They did it with... Think about the songs they cover. Susie Q, Good Golly Miss Molly. These are... Dude. The Nighttime is the Right... These are really classic R&B hits of that era, or early rock hits of that era. And they give it a life of their own, which is really an amazing thing that they were able to do here to close it out. What did you think, Ray?
I thought it was great. I thought it just... Guys are taking... You
just a really good end to the album?
Yeah.
Did I say what you were going to say?
No, I...
I mean, it brings up a good question. Why do they?
Okay, so me and Jerry having back and forth while I was listening to this song.
Go ahead.
Because I actually never heard this song before. And as soon as I was hearing it, I'm like, man, this is actually a jam. That's why I've never heard of this one before. And, like, because you know, it really does pose an... Why do they? And I was confused about why he asked me this. And it turns out that, like, it's... They're doing the chorus and it's "Why do they?" But if you just hear it wrong, it sounds like he's saying "Why do they?" And I'm like, that can't be right. But then they hear it as like they could possibly just be them saying, "Instead of the night time is right time. Why do they? It should be one you love. Yeah, but why do they?"
Right.
It's not what they're saying, but it's just a funny thing.
It's a doo-wop.
Yes. It's a doo-wop, 100%.
You want me to no-sell that joke? I just did.
Alright,
well.
Perfect.
What you got?
I think that's just the way Fogarty sings.
Just a little bit of it.
But
he puts a little stink on it.
Okay, let's go to what is the best track on the record? Jared.
Ooh. Bad Moon Rising. Not a particularly exciting pick for best song on the album. So I'll give a second one, which was Wrote a Song for Everyone.
Dude, that one is so good, isn't it? You want to talk about that one a second?
Yeah. So evidently he was talking, because I was reading Genius's little excerpt on the different songs. And on this one, he's talking about like how he felt about his wife and kid,
mm-hmm.
where he was writing a song for everyone, but he couldn't talk to them. And I don't know, man.
Right.
It's good.
Wrote a song for everyone, and I couldn't talk to you.
You know?
Right. And
it's crazy to me, because that dude, it has such a way with words and a way with speech. And it's just, that doesn't always translate.
But that is a timeless issue for artists.
Absolutely.
You know what 100%. I mean? I can literally go up here on stage. How many times have you heard an artist say, yeah, I'm great once the light's on? And then I can't do it when the light's not on. So I have to convince myself in life that the light's on in order to be successful. You know what I mean? It's so strange. The life of a performing artist, especially. Ray. What is your favorite?
Favorite?
Yes.
I'd probably go with Jared's pick.
Wrote a song for everyone or Bad Room Rising?
I'd probably say I like Bad Room Rising a little more. But I'll also add on, I really liked Lodi as well.
Lodi. Again. Nick. Nick?
For me, I'm going to go with Lodi. It's very hard. I really do love Wrote a Song for Everyone. I love Bad Moon Rising is forever a classic. Commotion is super underrated, in my opinion. It's just their purpose is jam. But I Lodi, I don't know why it just works for me as a song. Maybe it's just the fact that it just has that solid, like, force, like, the chorus and just like the way that just feels like it's just a chill song. It just kind of has this nostalgic feel to it. And also just having that kind of comedy of like, you know, we've all been like trying something and we're like, oh God, I'm stuck here again. You know, it's a whole like, if I had a dollar for every song I sung, I kind of feel Lodi in a way of just like being constantly like, whenever you like get starting, going and stopping and starting every 5 minutes, whenever you're trying to work on something, you're just like, and now we're back to square one. I like that. It's nice.
Agreed. Lodi is probably a top like 50 song for me, just period.
You know? Same, honestly.
And I like a lot of songs, but the concept of I took a chance, I went out there, I gave it everything I had, and I wound up back here a couple of miles away from my house playing to these drunks that I've known and they get to laugh at me is so like sad. And like you said, it's a nice little chill song, and it's, oh no, stuck in Lodi again, and it's kind of tongue in cheek laughing at yourself. By the same his tone allows it to be make almost hollow. He feels that it's hollow, and he's able to do that with a lot of his stuff. He writes a song about something and it's supposed to be happy, but he puts content in there that's wicked or whatever, and it becomes a hollow evilness to it. This isn't evil at all, it's hollow. Yeah. I also want to put in though, the reason I love this song is so silly, but it also leans itself for if you have, well, for the song we talked about earlier, The Nighttime is the Right Time, right?
Yeah.
Why do bands cover other stuff and what happens there? And I remember there was a band called Tesla back in the day, and they did a 5-man acoustic jam, and they covered Lodi in the middle of it. And I had no idea, because Lodi wasn't a song that was played a lot on the radio. You'd get Bad Moon Rising or one of the other hits, you know. And I was like, wow. And I went back, and it kind of forced me to get into their discography a little bit. And all of a sudden, I'm listening to, you know, the greatest hits part. And I'm like, well, wait, maybe I should just check out a whole album. And it's funny how I remember on the inserts of a album called Spaghetti Incident by Guns N' Roses, they said at the end something to the effect of, go back and find the originals. Listen to these discographies, right? And I just feel like listening to cover songs, whether it be them covering Ray Charles. You shouldn't have to go rediscover Ray Charles, but if that's not what you grew up on and you hear that, maybe you do dive into that discography somehow and learn something. Maybe you do dive, and that's what got me into CCR, because classic rock radio to me coming up is like, well, that's not cool. That's not what's going on right now, right? But then somebody does a cover and you dive in and you learn more. Now, what was the worst track on the album for you? Jared?
I don't think I can pick one. Like, in all honesty, I liked all of them.
Right,
you? That really isn't, like, a weak spot.
There's not. Ray, do you have a worst?
No.
Nick?
Honestly, if I, like, I'm in the same boat where, like, I can't really choose a, like, weak song, but if I were forced to say which was the song you would listen to the least, I would say maybe Tombstone Shadow.
Dude, I love that song.
But that's,
Dude, come on, bro.
Dude, more, like...
dude, come on. Dude.
Dude. Well,
I guess maybe. Maybe. And even then, it's like, I would listen to all these songs. Like, which one is the song you would, like it's right before I wrote a song for everyone, so, like, I might skip it so I could hear a song for everyone to come back.
But that's the beautiful thing about this record, right? Is it's your worst song. It's literally my second favorite. And exactly. I don't discount your taste in music because of that, because it's all so good. And it is a reference to the ceiling is the floor in a good way. There's nothing bad going on here. Everything's the ceiling. There's no floor. It's just a wonderful record. Okay, let's go on to how'd you feel about John Fogerty's vocals? I think I already said that. Anybody else?
Perfect.
They were absolutely perfect for what they were trying to convey.
Nicholas.
100%.
He can freaking holler.
100%. He can freaking holler. I like it. I like it, Ray. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, that's a guy who's singing completely set, completely says to me, holler.
Right. Right.
He just sits there and puts the mic like a foot away from his face and he just hollers, baby.
Okay. Did you guys think the album was properly length?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Just not really long. Just good length.
Yeah. And the only little bit of an ebb and flow is when you go from, like, Commotion's almost like a railroad train. You know what I mean? And he gets to that again later with Crosstie Walker. Commotion's kind of a current event song, but it also feels like a train, like the way it chugs along, the way the song does. Crosstie Walker, he's actually talking about kind of being a hobo and going from town to town. But the ebbs and flows of it is there's only one real I'm Going to Slow Down a Lot, which is Wrote a Song for Everyone, and that one is touching and it does what it needs to do. And I feel like the album is almost perfect. You know? Yeah, you know. And then what did you rate this album out of 10?
Oh, that's hard. Shoot, I can't do a number like that. That's hard. I mean, ultimately, it was a little slow for me. So it's like not my favorite CCR album. I went and I listened to Willie and the Poor Boys, and I love that. I love that one.
Right.
But this album was a little slow for me.
Right. Okay.
It's somewhere between a 9 and a 10, but I'd probably go 9.5.
The coward's way out. Give it a 10, coward.
9.25.
What do you give it, Nick?
9.
Gave it a 9. Okay, I probably would give it a 9 as well, unless it was in Jacksonville or the Tokyo Dome.
Yes.
Then it's a 10.
Then
it's
it would be 18 songs.
That's a wrestling joke. Anyway, so we love the record, and Ray has a surprise segment.
Yeah. Yes, we are doing basically what this is it's a segment. It's called Hidden Battles. We do this when we feel like the episode was too short or it wasn't long enough. Basically, we just tag this along to the end of an episode. And
go ahead. Would you like to do some battles?
Do a battle.
Do some battles. We're just introducing it to you right now. The concept. The
Kev, drop a hot beat for me. I'm about to destroy this kid.
Okay, we got.
Oh wait, not that. Oh, not that kind of battle. Okay.
Okay.
Y'all don't want the smoke. Y'all don't want the smoke, baby.
That was terrible.
Dad, do you want yours? Okay.
Go first.
Me and Dad both have 5. Next time, Jared will come up with 5. But you know.
Maybe Nick, if he's willing to be here.
Maybe.
I'm here.
All right, so I've got my first one. This one guy on Twitter, he ranked the big 4 of thrash metal. He ranked Slayer at the back and Anthrax at the front. So, Dad, as an expert, on this thrash metal 80s scene, Anthrax versus Slayer. All for Anthrax, say aye.
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 Aye. Oh no!
Listen,
I'm not a big fan of the Disease. I'm
not a big. Listen, okay.
Slayer is like my mom's vacuum. It's been around since the '80s, and it sucked the whole time.
Wow. I wouldn't say that, but I would say that the bulk.
Hold on. Go ahead, Ray. All for Slayer, say I. I feel very bad.
That silence is crushing. I don't feel bad at all.
But
we're
now,
just saying words to me at this point.
In defense of that, though, the whole world would say Slayer is better than Anthrax.
There's a reason why there's a reason. I don't think you've listened to
Slayer. I haven't listened to much.
Okay, so there's my reason is Anthrax don't really have a Diabolus in Musica. They don't really have that type of really bad album that. In Slayer, they have Diabolus in Musica. That is their album.
So Anthrax more consistent.
Anthrax at their worst are not that awful. Anthrax at their worst are tolerable. Slayer at their worst are Slayer at their worst are attempting to be new metal.
Well, that was pre-new metal, so you can
no,
say
that wasn't.
They
no.
were way ahead of their time.
No, that was too...
Really quickly, I Anthrax, and all I'm getting is our skin ulcers. And
Let's move along to the next one.
The next one is Linkin Park versus System of a Down.
Oof.
System of a Down.
Let's go.
I won't hesitate. System of a Down.
All in favor of Linkin Park, say aye.
Aye.
Ooh. All in favor of System of a Down, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, it's no surprise that I said aye. So, I've been a System of a Down fan for a while. I do believe that Linkin Park have better hooks than System of a Down most of the time. I think their best is up to par with some of System of a Down's best, but Linkin Park their career can get rocky sometimes, you know. A Thousand Suns, Recharged. System of a Down.
I just like the intensity of System of a Down.
System of a Down. Don't.
Wake up. Grab a brush.
Nick, would you like to jump in here?
I'm just saying. Like, even though I like In the End as much as the next guy,
Nick, can you
only
name
one band made Chop Suey, you know?
Yeah. Can you name another Linkin Park song? Just curious.
Just any?
like, literally any.
Let me quickly Google.
That's not allowed.
Hold on. Give me, like, a second.
I would say that...
Is Numb them, or was that Green Day?
That's Numb. No, Numb wasn't Green Day.
Ouch.
Green Day don't.
Okay, next one.
What's the next one?
Next one is somebody on a Reddit thread basically said, and you know it's going to be a bad take then.
Absolutely.
He said that Primus should have the same, if not more, amount of fame than the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So my question is, Red Hot Chili Peppers versus Primus. All in favor of Red Hot Chili Peppers, say aye. Aye.
Yo.
I do not know if I've ever heard a Primus song.
All in favor of Primus, say aye.
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 Kev, I'm siding with you.
But now, the whole world, again, will disagree with that take.
Yeah. But yeah.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I love
the Chili Peppers. I'm not.
Huh?
Huh?
Was Primus still went down to Georgia?
No, that song's like old as dirt. They might have done a cover of it.
Their Winona had a big brown beaver.
Their pork soda.
Their popular songs are South Park theme. My name is Mud.
Oh, okay.
My name is Mud.
Winona's big.
Yeah.
I stand by my aforementioned choice then.
But now, dude, the Chili Peppers literally have hits from the 80s to the next time they put out an album.
You know, I just...
You know what I mean? Yeah, but it's personal preference thing. I find Claypool to be amazing on bass, and I'll ride with that.
Give it up. I give it up for Pork Soda, for Sea of Cheese.
Move on to the next.
Okay, Jesus.
What's the next one? Name another band I've never listened to.
Marilyn Manson versus Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie.
All in favor of Marilyn Manson, say aye.
The silence is
all
deafening.
All in favor of Rob Zombie, say aye.
Aye. I love Rob Zombie.
Dude, Rob Zombie rules.
I have very distinct reason for this. Have any of you seen the picture of Marilyn Manson with Nick Cave? Nick Cave, he's at a party. He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. He has a half-drunken smile. If Nick and Marilyn Manson is stone-faced, not having any fun. If Nick Cave is having more fun than you.
You're insufferable.
You're insufferable. I like Rob Zombie more because he's just having fun.
Right.
Like...
Right. He just seems like a nice guy.
You got another one?
I do. My last one, somebody on Twitter, again, said if all were right in the world, Mudhoney would replace Pearl Jam in the big four of grunge. Now, my question is, all in Mudhoney versus Pearl Jam. All in favor of Mudhoney, say aye.
Ooh.
All in favor of Pearl Jam, say aye. I did not expect that.
Aye.
Who is Mudhoney?
they kind of made grunge. They were kind of the first guys to do grunge.
I mean, I love Pearl Jam. It would be a pretty high bar for that to clear.
Whoever said that, that's why you shouldn't read the internet.
People on Twitter really do just be putting it out there. No filter. No. Nope, dude.
They're good. Mudhoney's fine. You know, dude, they're good. But
everybody
come on
Twitter needs like an editor. Yeah. Pay me $5 per day.
Sorry.
Pay me $5 per day, and I will proofread and filter your bad takes.
Yeah.
Pay me.
Okay, is it my turn?
Yes, it is. In fact, your turn.
All right. These will be older versions of questions, other than this one. Pink Floyd versus Radiohead. Oh. All in favor of Floyd.
All in favor
of Radiohead.
Man, I feel like I've betrayed Tom York.
Dude, I really thought I'd be 3-1 on this.
I don't know, dude. Like, Radiohead's great, but, like, I don't know. Floyd just fits more into my personal music preferences.
You can tell the Pink Floyd inspiration in Radiohead.
Yes.
And also, I freaking love almost every album. Radiohead have made some of the best music of the last 30 years.
But they didn't make Dark Side of the Moon.
They didn't make exactly. Another Brick in the Wall.
They didn't make The Wall. They didn't make Dark Side of the Moon. They didn't make Animals.
Wish You Were Here. You can literally list every single Floyd album, and it's a classic.
Right. Division Bells. It don't matter. You know what I mean? Throw one out there. Okay. Next, I may explain a little bit why on these next two. I think we're going to shut it down pretty... I'm going to go into all of the ones I had listed. Aerosmith versus Van Halen. The reason being, they're probably the two most commercially successful American bands. They're probably the only two American bands that are in an argument for greatest of whatever. And
this is easy.
And also, their careers changed directions in the 80s as... Aerosmith did it without changing people, but they went away. They had lost everything due to their own excesses. They got lucky, not lucky, but they did a cover of Run DMC, Walk This Way. That turned into a new record deal, which turned into Permanent Vacation. Pump became an entirely... Permanent Vacation is a little bit different from the early discography. Pump, Get a Grip, going forward would be totally different from what they'd done before, whereas Van Halen... obviously totally changed directions when Dave leaves
Sammy Hagar
and Sammy takes over, but the amount of hits these two bands have produced is, and there's an argument too, personal preference will separate Eddie Van Halen and Joe Perry as to who you think is a better guitar. Some people think Eddie Van Halen is the template to great guitar. Joe Perry and Steven Tyler, probably the best American songwriting duo in history, rock music genre. So, what do we think? Aerosmith.
I'm gonna go with Aerosmith.
Me too.
I'm gonna be that guy.
Yay.
I'll probably go with Van Halen.
Van Halen for me.
Okay, so it's 2-2.
It's easy.
All right.
Well,
understandable. Understandable.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
My thing with Aerosmith is, nine lives onward, there has been nothing. It's not been great.
Don't sleep on Pink.
Two words.
That Pink, song is awful.
It's my favorite
that's,
color.
That's the. That's the most.
I'm sorry,
dude.
After you release that,
I get what you're saying on that, but you're talking about 40 years into a career, they've started writing songs you don't like anymore.
I feel like that does perhaps discount some of their earlier greatness, even if it was
right. And yet you're gonna go, but Pink on Down stinks. But you're gonna just ignore Van Halen 3?
Oh no, I am not. Don't put words in my mouth. Hey, I have gone on record to say that Van Halen 3 is in top 3 of the worst albums I've ever heard.
Right. But dude, there's like, but I'll be honest with you, every...
But the difference is, go with ahead. Van Halen, there's one awful album.
It's just really concentrated badness in the one album.
And with Aerosmith, it's just kind of... Everything after Get a Grip is just mediocre.
Listen to Honking on Bobo sometime.
I'm just saying, once again, two words.
And you say Van Halen 3, I say just push play.
But, okay, but I will be honest here. I have changed my, like, in 1987, I would have told you one thing. In 92, I would have given you a completely different answer. It would have been Van Halen. Then I saw Aerosmith probably 3 years later, and I would have given you a totally different answer. You know what I mean? And so then, so I'm just, you know, it's, we'll be finishing this with an all-time classic question. Priest or Maiden? Those for Priest?
That's rough, buddy. That's,
that's unfortunate.
Those for that's Maiden?
I.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just more epic.
Yes, absolutely. It just sounds bigger.
Dude, nothing beats Seventh Son of a Seventh Son.
Unless it's something of theirs. Run to the Hills. Whatever you want. I mean, I saw...
I like British Steel. And I like Ram It Down. But, dude, Number of the Beast. Seventh Son of a Seventh Son. Their newest one.
I would argue that Book of Souls is as good as any album besides British Steel that Priest has from top. It's just a story. You know, you listen to it, it's a story. You know what I mean? And that's,
I love stuff like that.
And I like Priest, and I think Rob Halford is a force of nature, and I get why he is the metal god and all of that, and I don't have a problem with any of that. It's just, I like a story in my record, and they give me one every time. And also, I feel that history has bent towards them a little bit with how jam bands have become more important and the way people have reviewed and re-looked at prog rock and things like that, to where the fact that they do get into a song and tear on for minutes on end and then come back to it, I think that winds up really leaning itself towards them, whereas Priest, hey man, Breaking the Law is a good song.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And there's a lot of speeding tickets that got hemmed up from that one. So I guess we're going to wrap it up.
Yep.
This is a
Go Home Heat podcast, and we hope you liked the premise of Hidden Battles. For you,
Jared,
and you,
KP,
and that guy, this
is
guy.
Is that me?
Yeah, that guy.
That's you.
That guy.
Hey,
that's you.
Hey, how's it going?
He's pointing at you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not there.
Okay.
It's Nick.
It's Nick.
Is it okay. Me? Please.
And for me, this has been Ray's Music Reviews.
Copyright 2020.
If you say copyright 2020, does that mean it's copyrighted?
We own the sucker. Nobody can steal this from us. This moment in time is ours.
We own Clearwater Creedence Revival.
Hey, well,
no.
We own the right.
Listen,
if anyone ever mentions them again, we're claiming their video.
We don't own that for sure. They can keep that one.
They keep that.
CCR is still in legal battles with each other. We're going to get in there, stake our claim.
We're going to throw hands.
Watch out, John Fogerty.
All right, guys, go home.
Watch out, John Fogerty and the other fellas.